We're going to begin this evening at the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. Yesterday was Valentine's Day, a day of love and romance. You're supposed to let your sweetheart know that you love her, you adore her, you care for her. Or perhaps you take a more cynical view. It's just a profit day for the card shops and the candy shops and the flower shops. Whatever you look at Valentine's, tonight we're going to look at God's love. God's goodness that comes from His love. I think the Scripture is very clear that the more we know God's love, the more we believe in God's love, the more we trust in God's love, the more we understand His goodness, the closer and more intimate our walk with Him will be. The more faithfully we will serve Him, the more we understand His love for us, the more we understand His goodness toward us. And we really want to focus on that goodness that stems from His love. By faith, we believe in and trust in the love and goodness of God. It will have an impact in our lives. It'll dictate how we live our lives. It'll dictate our actions, our reactions. It'll dictate our attitudes, our choices, simply by our understanding of God's goodness that comes from His love. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we do pray this evening that we would a greater understanding and appreciation for Your goodness. That goodness which stems from Your divine love. That love from which nothing can separate us as we are Your children. And I pray this evening that we would examine our own hearts and our own lives. Are there times in which we doubt Your goodness? And may we be challenged this evening to know that You are good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The importance of trusting in the goodness of God is seen right here at the beginning, in Genesis. And this morning we mentioned this. And so if you were here this morning, this is a little bit of review. We're going to add to it some, but if you weren't here this morning, we'll catch up to speed. But Adam and Eve's disobedience in Genesis chapter 3 really started with their doubting of God's goodness. God had shown them what was good and what was not good. And it begins right with creation. Notice in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. So on the very first day of creation, God is declaring what is good. Notice verse 12. This was when He created the land and the sea. Verse 12, "And the earth brought forth vegetation, herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good." So He declares this land and sea and the plant life as good. Notice verse 18. He creates the sun and the moon to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Come to verse 21. He creates the birds and the fish. God created great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25, He created the animals, the land animals, and God made the beast of the earth after its kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Now there's a reason why that's repeated throughout this creation story. It's making the point that God knows what is good. He's declaring what is good. He's making it known what is good. Verse 31, after he's created everything, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. Then jump over to verse 18 of chapter 2. The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help fit for him." So throughout this whole creation account, we've got God declaring what is good, and he also declares what is not good. And then he gives the instructions for man as he is to be having dominion over the earth, but then he says, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but there's one that is not good. Every tree of the garden you may freely eat that is good for you, but there is one that is not good. He has declared what is good and what is not good. Adam and Eve did not have to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to know what was good and evil. God had already declared that, and they could trust him in what was good and what was not good. All they had to do was trust him. They didn't have to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil to gain that knowledge of good and evil. They just simply needed to trust God to know what was good and evil. He had declared it. Trust me. But we come to Genesis chapter 3, and we won't read the account. We are familiar with it. Satan comes and casts doubt upon the goodness of God. God knows that if you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll become like him. He is withholding good from you. That was Satan's attack on Adam and Eve. God is withholding that which is good from you. God was the standard of what was good and what was evil. They just needed to trust God and abide by his standard, but Satan comes along and he says, God's not good. He's withholding good from you. They doubted the goodness of God. They ate of the tree and sinned against God. Of course, that sin brought man into depravity, and Satan has been using that same tactic ever since. He has, ever since the Garden of Eden, cast a doubt upon the goodness of God. It worked well on Adam and Eve, and it continues to work well on us. If Satan can get us to doubt God's goodness, he can get us to do pretty much anything he wants us to do. They looked at the tree. They saw that it was good for food, that it was pleasant for the eyes, desired to make one wise. They decided it was good for them. Contrary to what God had said, they decided it was good for them. And they ate of the tree. So often we think we know better than God. We think we know better than God as far as what's good for us and what's not good for us. And as soon as we doubt God's goodness and we think that what God has said is good is not good and what God has said is evil is not evil, we sin just like Adam and Eve. We want to decide what's good rather than trusting God. So we make wrong choices. We react wrongly to the circumstances of our life. We take things into our own hands to make things turn out what we think is good, instead of trusting God to work things together for good. I want to look at four thoughts this evening as we consider this. First is that God is good. Secondly, every good gift comes from God. Thirdly, God withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. And fourthly, God works all things together for good. If we can get those four thoughts in our minds, it will have an impact on our lives. It'll affect every choice we make. It'll affect every action. It'll affect every reaction. It'll affect our attitude about circumstances in life. It'll have a huge impact. It'll give us victory over sin. If we understand God is good, every good gift comes from God. God withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly, and He works all things together for good. Let's consider those four points. We're not going to look at all of these verses. I just want to read some verses that declare the goodness of God. Psalm 86:5 simply says, "For you, Lord, are good." Psalm 100, verse 5, "The Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting." Psalm 119, verse 68, "You are good, and you do good. Teach me your statutes." Psalm 145, verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Jeremiah 33:11, "Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good." Lamentations 3:25, "The Lord is good unto those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him." Nahum 1, verse 7, "The Lord is good, and a stronghold in the day of trouble." Over and over and over again, the Scriptures declare the truth, God is good. There can be no doubt as far as what Scripture declares concerning the goodness of God. God is good. Over and over it's declared. That, of course, is in contrast to man. What does Romans 3 tell us about man? Romans 3, verse 12 says, "There is none that does good. No, not one." God is good, the Scriptures declare over and over again. Man, left to himself, is not good. We read earlier the account there in Luke chapter 18. This rich young ruler comes to Christ and refers to Him as good master or good teacher. And Christ right away responds to that. Of course, as He responds in this way, he's building up to what He wants this young man to understand. And so he simply says, "Why do you call Me good? There is none good but God." Christ Himself declares the goodness of God and declares that only God is good. Man is not. There's none that does good. No, not one. So only God is good. And so, in essence, what He's saying to this young man is, either I'm God or you're wrong. Either I'm God and I am good as you have declared, or I'm not God and I'm not good. He wants this young man to begin to think about the goodness of God. There's a reason why he wants this young man to think about the goodness of God. Because this young man is asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so Christ, working as He works down through that, he says to this young man, "Well, you need to keep the commandments." And this young man says, "I have." Well, he really hadn't. And Christ now points that out to him. He says, "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor." See, he really didn't love his neighbor as himself. He loved his riches more than his neighbor. That was a violation of the commandments. He didn't really love God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He loved his riches more. That's what Christ was pointing out to this young man. He really hadn't kept the commandments. Not that keeping the commandments save us. That's not what Christ was saying. Christ was simply pointing out that he was... That is, this young man was not good. God is good. He says, "Sell everything you have and give it to the poor." This young man walked away sorrowful because he had many riches. He decided that he knew better than God. What was good for him was to keep the riches. Not this one who he declared was a good teacher. I'm not going to listen to him. I'm going to decide what is good. And keeping my riches is good. And so we have in this young ruler another example of not trusting in the goodness of God, but deciding for himself what is good. He declared Christ as a good teacher, but when it came right down to it, he didn't believe that. He believed that what he wanted was good. God is good. It's declared throughout Scripture. Christ declares that only God is good. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Again, a familiar verse to us. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Declares the immutability of God. God does not change. He will not change. He cannot change. And since this unchanging, immutable God is before us, he now declares that this immutable, unchanging God only gives good gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from this unchangeable, immutable God. He's not going to change. He's not going to change in the giving of his good gifts. He can't. He's immutable. And notice it says every good gift and every perfect gift. Now there's some question as to exactly how this should be translated. The two words gift here are actually two different Greek words. Not 100% positive of the difference between them. Most would suggest that it really is the thought of every good act of giving and every perfect gift given is from this immutable God. Every good act of giving and every perfect gift given is from God. But the point is that God gives good gifts. And it says every good gift. Not some, not most. Every good gift comes from this immutable God. Now, he may use the instrument of another person. Another person may give you something that's good. They may give you a good gift, but we need to understand that it's not from that person. He's not the real source of that gift. God is. God is the source of every good gift. He uses people as his instruments, but he's the source. Man, left to himself, does not do good. Remember Romans chapter 3? Man, left to himself, does not do good. Man, left to himself, does not give good gifts. As we give good gifts, it is from God. We're just the instrument. Every good gift comes from God. We do well to keep that in mind. Every good thing that happens in your life is from God. Every good thing that happens in your life is from God. Do you give him glory for it? Do you give him thanks for it? Do you give him praise for it? Every good gift comes from him. God is the source of every good act of giving, and he's the source of every perfect gift given. It's not man. God is the source. Go with me to Psalm 84. God is good. He is the source of every good gift. And in Psalm 84, we see that God withholds no good thing. Those who walk uprightly. Adam and Eve doubted the goodness of God and believed that God was withholding something good from them. God said, "Don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil," and they begin to question whether that was good of God or not. And they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil because they believed what Satan had said, that God was withholding something good from them. But God's promise here in Psalm 84 in verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." That's a wonderful promise. A wonderful promise. He's not going to withhold any good thing from us. No matter what it might be, if you think it's good, but you don't have it, it's not good. At least not at that moment. Because if it was good, God would not withhold it from you. So whatever the situation might be, and maybe it's a particular circumstance you find yourself in, and you think that what's before you here, that would really be a good thing if this circumstance was gone, or if something good, you want something to happen and it's not happening, and you think it would be good if it did happen. If it was good, God wouldn't withhold it from you. Not at that moment. Now later on down the road, maybe he will give it to you. Because down the road, maybe it will be good for you. But right now, whatever the situation might be, if you think it's good but you don't have it, it's not good for you right now. Because he's not going to withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. He says a very similar thing in Psalm 34. You don't need to turn to it, but Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10. "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no lack to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. If you think you're lacking something that would be good for you, then you need to understand it's not good for you, or you wouldn't be lacking it. God is good. Every good gift comes from him, and he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. If you think about the various sins that we are guilty of committing, we commit those sins often because we think we know better than God what's good for us. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we gossip. Whatever sin you can pick out, that we do it because we think it's good to do it. It's going to be good for us. We lie because we think that it's good to withhold the truth from that person. For whatever reason, we think it's good to withhold the truth from that person. And God says, "No. I'll tell you what's good. Trust me. And I'm not going to withhold any good thing from you." Finally, we come to Romans 8:28. And you're very familiar with that verse. God is good. He gives only good gifts. He withholds no good thing from us. And he works all things together for good. He works all things together for good to them who love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. When the bad stuff happens, the stuff we perceive as being bad in our lives, when that happens, we need to understand that God's working it out for good. He really does mean good for us. He doesn't bring anything into our lives for our hurt or for our harm. It is only for our good. Joseph, of course, is the great example of Romans 8:28 and having faith in that truth. Joseph, sold into slavery by his brothers, ended up in Egypt working for Potiphar, a But then Potiphar's wife lied concerning Joseph, and he ended up in prison. Here's Joseph just trying to do his best under very difficult circumstances. He's taken from his family. His brothers sold him into slavery, and he gets into Egypt, and he's just trying to do what's right. He's trying to do what's best. He's working hard for Potiphar, and Potiphar recognized it, that God was blessing Joseph, and God blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. And Joseph's just trying to do what's right, and he ends up in prison. And then even in prison, he just tries to do what's right, and he's making a good impression even in prison on the ones who were in charge. He makes a good impression, and then he tells the dream of the butler and the baker, and he has a chance now to get out of prison, and that all falls through. Who would have blamed Joseph for just saying, "Forget it. I'm doing everything right. I'm trying to do my best. I'm trying to serve you, God, and look at the mess I'm in. God, you're not good. You're withholding good from me. You're not giving me good gifts. You're not working this out for good. It's a mess. I'm in prison for doing nothing wrong." But that wasn't Joseph's attitude at all. And later on, he said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He trusted in the goodness of God, and he lived his life by that principle. God is good, and he will give me good gifts, and he'll withhold no good thing from me, and he'll work everything out for good, and I'm going to trust him. I'm just going to keep doing what's right, and I'm going to trust him. What a wonderful example. If we have those four truths in mind and we live our lives according to those truths, it will impact every choice we make, every action we do, every reaction to our circumstances, every attitude. It will impact. It will give us victory over sin. Instead of reacting sinfully, we'll trust in the goodness of God. Instead of making sinful choices, we'll trust in the goodness of God. God is good. Every good gift comes from God. He withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. And he works all things together for good to them that love him. Do you trust in the goodness of God that comes from his love? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we are so grateful for who you are. Again, we are reminded of what we read in your word. In all our ways, we are to know you. Help us this evening to know your love, to know your goodness, and to trust you. May it truly impact our lives. May it not just be head knowledge. May we not just walking out tonight to say these truths, but may we truly believe them and live our lives by them. Give us victory over sin because of them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Again, Father, we would ask that you would guide us through this coming week. Help us to allow you to transform us and to conform us into the image of Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.